Why, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan. Excited to be joined here at the table. There's some side eye happening. I think I know why, and maybe we'll reveal why at a later point in our podcast. But in the interim, why don't we check in with all of these maybe suspicious players, starting to my left with...
Hi, it's me, Sophie, and I play Valeska, the human astral cleric of the Arcana Domain, and maybe now a warlock.
Something else. Hey,
I will not change my intro. I've said it for 100 plus episodes. I don't know how warlock fits in yet.
God, really
human
weird.
Asterisk cleric of the Arcana
of the warlock domain.
Asterisk. Yeah. I just added a second asterisk.
Just two asterisks, and then the first one, and then the second one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is nowhere to be seen. He's on his own fun little side adventure with a bunch of kids and having the time of his life. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and this is going to be weird because I play Kaskrim Brightmane, a now dwarven sorcerer.
Ooh.
I don't like this.
I don't like it either. I'm just going to go back to being a warlock.
Yeah, take that back.
Can you condense sorcerer into two syllables to be like warlock so it fits a little better?
I'm just going
to
keep saying warlock, and like y'all can remember that I'm actually not a warlock.
Well, it's just you didn't have the patented David, like, sing-song magic voice. You're just like,
Can your voice have
sorcerer.
A jaunt? Because that's what David said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The dwarven sorcerer.
Well, that was a little too much.
You're going to have to workshop it a little bit.
Okay, yeah. We'll tune it down a little bit.
Find the rhythm.
I will also say my intrusive thought for today is, isn't it weird how we just did like the intro at the beginning in episode 1 when we had no idea what we were doing, and we're still doing that 110 episodes later?
Yeah, sometimes because we crushed it.
Yeah.
That's fair. Because it was real
good.
One and done.
And we're still doing it. Mm-hmm. And to my left.
Hello, everyone. My name is Steve, and I, as always, am playing Sylve Esterlin, the dragonborn monk.
And
auto-filled warlock.
Who is still a dragonborn monk.
Indeed.
Yep.
However, he is a little concerned about this whole, there's waves in the waveless lake, and maybe that's just a metaphor, and maybe he can let the others take care of that, because I'm sure it's nothing, right?
Yeah, so I can just go to sleep.
So we'll kick it back to Nathan to tell me that's absolutely correct, and we'll see what happens.
Hit the long rest button, and all is well. On to the next episode, everyone. No. The Golden Tree Guild has been informed by Jack Brill of the Agmar City Guard. The two kind of major bits of information. One, Checkers might be missing with some children, which, you know, that could be a lot of things. Checkers goes missing all the time. And the other thing was that, well, Checkers and the kids were supposed to be near the Waveless Lake. That was where they were supposed to meet back up with their, court-mandated supervisor, Jack Brill. And they weren't there. And now the aforementioned Waveless Lake, which is pretty self-explanatory in terms of kind of its main feature, has waves in it. Now,
I am choosing to believe that Checkers and the children are still at the Waveless Lake, but the Waveless Lake is no longer at its previous location.
Just a classic lake swap.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we have inherited some kind of
the very wavy.
Yes. The waveful lake.
Yep.
And Checkers and the children are still currently at the Waveless Lake, just somewhere else.
Steve, I'm so glad that you have read all of my auxiliary world building material to understand what I was doing with the Waveful Lake.
See, I'm just thinking about how much the waves would disrupt trade within the Waveful Lake. You know, like how you build a dock?
Yeah,
with waves in mind. But like you wouldn't if there weren't any waves. You just like put them on the flat surface. And now that's all gone.
There's
now
no tides. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no post to keep it like in the ground and in the same spot because there's nothing to move it.
Whatever you've done, Checkers, you ruined the lives.
Yeah.
of hundreds of thousands of people. The trading prowess of
Angmar. Wow. The economy may never recover.
Yep. A Waveful Lake in this economy.
The trade guilds are going to show up for an audit.
And so you understand why Jack Brill is mightily concerned by all of the things happening currently. So he, the hedgehog guard, again, some mix, some size between normal hedgehog and normal man, stands in front of you and is just kind of like wringing his paws slash hands and is just, if you all, both as your capacity as Checkers' guildmates and also as... guild members here in the city in good standing, if you could all very quickly accompany me to the Waveful Lake, that would be really nice. Please, please.
Kaskrin already knows the kinds of trouble that Checkers has caused at the Waveless Lake, and so he's out the door. He grabs like a pastry from the side shelf and is just like, all right, we're booking it.
Selv, who had just put down his backpack, just kind of slowly lets go of the strap and then gets his staff from the corner again where he had just placed it, starts to follow Jack Brill out the door.
Val, realizing that Berga is not there, Taroth is the only one capable of common in the guild hall, will yell, Colaprico! Man the front desk!
And everyone hears that, and Jack Brill just, like, looks down the hallway and then looks back at the desk, and then somehow Colaprico is already there.
Yeah.
There's been no click-clacks of
highly trained feet. Attack chicken from Gary Carr Chicken Stalker.
Yes.
What's the matter, Colaprico? Chicken?
I would not. No. That is Legend of Zelda attacking a chicken level of provocation.
Right. He just,
wouldn't
like, looks back at Jack Brill and hisses.
And the chicken mans the desk as you maybe see a pair of eyes from an air vent just glaring at the chicken. So the four of you all start kind of making your way back across the city. And you guys are actually on the opposite side of the city from the Waveless Lake, essentially.
And actually, I do have a question because this seems like somewhat of an emergency situation. Is there anything that Jack Brill does or the city guard does to like announce like, hey, make way, make
like
way.
Siren?
Do they have bells or whistles or anything that's starting to
say what I imagined was that they just had a very tall pole that somebody cast like light on in like a spinning way and it is like a light siren.
I mean they have bell towers like all across the city that like do get rung kind of in emergency situations. So
I'm just imagining somebody running with said like staff.
Yes, just
to, like,
a,
get out of the street.
It is just a large stick that has light cast on it, but
and
is blue.
As they're running, they're going.
chaos has ensued. You see some version of that. No. You would actually, now that you guys are kind of like stepping out, and after you have gone like a block or two, you are starting to hear those bells ringing.
And Kaskrin at this point is just assuming it's like a large mango jumping up and down playing like in a bathtub and that's what maybe was making the waves.
Yep.
And so like he's not quite concerned yet, but he is on the lookout for a giant green frog.
Yes, that I think is pretty reasonable based on even just what has happened in the last like 2 weeks
right.
of panic at the Waveless Lake, maybe involving Checkers.
Yeah. Checkers probably was like, kids, want to see something cool and ride a giant mango? Here we go. Oh, it goes up and down now? Even better.
Right.
As you guys are going through the city, at first, no one seems particularly concerned. But as the bells kind of start ringing and it occurs to people that, oh, this is not, like, this is decidedly a fast ring that is declaring that something bad is happening, you see people start to kind of look around and try to figure out what's happening.
So, Nathan, you both strike me as somebody who would do this and somebody who would absolutely not do
Great.
This. But right now I'm picturing in my head that we are running to the street and we have to like kind of dodge some carts and stuff to get across the street. Then we get towards the Waveless Lake and we maybe have to hop onto some logs and go across the Waveless Lake. And then maybe there's some kind of like animals in there that are trying to like eat us as we try to get across. We have to like jump on their backs or their tails. And then we finally get to the island.
Is this like Donkey Kong?
This is a Frogger pun.
It's a Frogger reference.
Got it.
I see you looking like, what is yeah,
that? They're talking about. I get
my
it.
Mind I went to Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, right. Like, I see what's happening. What jumping activity are we talking? What jumping fiction are we exploring
God,
here?
God, Frogger's a great... I've spent so many hours playing
What's that, a duck game now? The one where... It's a duck game. Never
what?
Mind. The guy, like, it's just like a little duck that's hopping across the street now. Never mind.
So you guys are racing. you guys are going through the city. You're kind of running through the city, and you see every once in a while just groups of heads who are all kind of running in the same direction as you. And eventually you get to see kind of through the gates that are usually open to the Waveless Lake because it's kind of a major commerce area. You guys can now see the Waveless Lake glittering like a diamond because there are waves on it now. As you approach, a couple things hit you. First, and most pressingly, is a smell. It's almost like a sewage smell.
It's all the stuff that naturally has settled at the bottom of a lake that doesn't have a current that is now churned up and has been decaying peacefully for who knows how long is now brought to the surface. Wow, Checkers, way to ruin an ecosystem too.
I have no idea how you just got that like immediately.
Yeah. I don't know, grow up in the country.
Yeah, fair. But it is like pervasive. Like you just get close and it is so intense that it hits you right in the face, and you're not even next to the water yet. The other thing that you all start to feel is, I meant to come up with a better word for it, but the only way I can describe it is you feel out of control. And I mean that not in terms of you're not in control of like your emotions, you're going to be angry or sad, but there is just some feeling of life is happening around you and you don't have the kind of like strength to change it, if that makes sense.
It's like everyone is running away, but you're standing still because you don't know what's happening and like there's something else.
Right. Yeah.
Unknown.
You, exactly.
And
you are not moving forward or backward, even if you are literally moving forward, mm-hmm, but like right, emotionally, yeah. You're like stuck.
I feel like when we encounter that, as we're running towards the lake, Cass, Selb, and Val probably like do like a nonverbal check-in where we all like make eye contact a little bit and just like clock that, hey, we are all experiencing this, right? This is probably bad. Worse than we thought.
Behind you guys, you hear a rattling sound as you realize that Jack Brill is quaking and his quills are rattling together. But he looks pretty pale too. Like he comes up upon this and is also like really affected by this. And you are already, again, you're seeing a lot of guards, people who are already on the scene who are trying to help, who are trying to like pull boats in, that kind of thing, as they are also trying to figure out what the hell is happening.
Yeah, that was my question. Like, because they're all trying to organize, what do we see when we get to the shore? Like, I'm guessing there's not a giant mango jumping up and down with gleeful kids on his back. Like, can we see anything that might be causing the waves?
Roll me a perception check. I'll do perception, and anyone can roll this as you're kind of approaching.
Castgren with a 7.
Val with a 15.
Self with a 12.
Ooh, 15 was exactly on the dot. Val, you're like taking this all in. And I'm sure a lot of you are just kind of like a little bit stricken of like, oh, holy shit, this is a crazy scene. And also trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? Who needs the most help? Where can we kind of jump in? And is there any danger? Val, you're trying to also figure out what else is going on here. The only thing that you are able to parse amidst all the chaos is you are looking at these waves and trying to figure out like, okay, what's happening? Is this coming from something, from somewhere? Is it from underneath, from whatever? And despite its chaotic kind of nature, you get the impression that these waves are emanating almost like a subwoofer from the island in the middle of the lake. So again, it's not perfect. It's not perfect rings. That's why like no one would have just noticed it just by like casually looking. But you do just enough battle trigonometry essentially to be able like, oh, I think all of these are coming from somewhere over there.
Gotcha.
So as the three of you finally approach the Waveless Lake and you realize that the scene in front of you is not what you were expecting, that there is not a giant mango sitting in the middle of the Waveless Lake bouncing up and down, causing these waves.
If only.
I imagine him like a bouncy house.
Yeah, right. Can we redo this adventure, actually? That's what I want to be doing instead.
As you take in that brief moment of surprise, you are also hit by another moment of surprise as a massive shadow passes over the three of you and Jack Brill. Looking up into the sky, you see a strange, massive figure of what can only be described as a pelican. A large...
God, not a fucking dinosaur bird!
A large bird with a huge beak flying a few dozen feet above the group and above the beach.
As the shadow passes kind of over everyone, you hear one of the like the fisher people who've kind of like stepped away either from hard work or from violent nausea just kind of like looks up puzzled, and you just hear him muse aloud. He's like,
oh, what's old Bill doing over here? He never flies on this side of the shore.
Who? Old Bill?
Yeah, you guys know Old Bill, Nathan, the GM, says. Old Bill. He is the lake pelican that, you know, kind of frequents this area. He's pretty friendly, generally speaking, but, oh yeah, I mean, everyone knows old Bill.
Okay.
We've talked about
no,
Old Bill,
Nathan
right?
No, Nathan and Jonathan, no.
Yeah, no,
the Golden Tree Guild is a beloved guild in the city of Angmar. Yeah. I refuse to shoot down Old Bill from the sky.
I think that's a great choice because Old Bill is almost a city mascot. Essentially.
Yeah, he is the protector of the city.
Right,
like.
Exactly. And like, you know, everyone leaves him alone. He seems pretty chill. He's very happy to have his own space.
That's why they refer to Agmar as Bill's place.
Yeah. and you know, most of the fishermen know that you're like, hey, look, we do have to like leave netting over our catches just because sometimes Old Bill will kind of swoop by and kind of, you know, steal some. But like, he's not mean about it. And so, yeah, no, Old
How
Bill,
big
everyone.
Is Old Bill?
Normally.
How old is Old Bill?
Well, unfortunately, the only way to tell is to count the rings, and no one is willing to cut open Old Bill to find out for a variety of reasons, which leads me to your first question, which is, well, when you guys think pelican, right? I don't know if you've seen a pelican in person.
They're giant in real life.
Very big in
they're
real life.
They're dinosaurs.
They're big. And then if I were to add the like the prefix dire to that.
That's too big.
It's a big boy. I would say, I don't know, what were we thinking, like 10 feet tall?
I was going to go much larger.
Good.
Because I'm imagining Old Bill easily twice that size.
Like 20 feet?
Okay, 20 feet.
Well, that might be too big.
Old okay. Bill,
I like
coming
it,
to casually steal your fish as a 20 foot
pelican?
Yeah, right.
That's too big.
Yeah, that's
too
big.
That's casually steal your boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, size. Yes.
Yeah, because also a pelican gullet? Pelicans eat whole seagulls. That would eat your whole boat.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys understand how terrifying pelicans are.
I do. That's why I'm saying it's going to be about 10 or 12 feet tall. But his wingspan is much larger, and his gullet is much larger.
It can't eat a small boat.
If you like wanted to, and it'd be a pretty lame boat that like probably deserved to be eaten anyway.
I mean, it's a good thing that old Bill doesn't want to eat boats because he's pretty chill most of the time.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Is this old Bill's typical size? And does this bill look like it might possibly have been enlarged by, say, a Grung druid?
I think that's all great questions. And, you know, I think what's really great about this is that you guys really get some good opportunity to think about this and compare it against all of your many memories that you guys all have seeing old Bill canonically on the podcast. Dear listener, I need to say, we have not talked about old Bill. I do not want to gaslight you. It is just a fun thing. I apologize, but that is the vibe. But all the times you guys have seen old Bill, because you see this shadow swoop over the suddenly wavy lake and start to dive towards you.
As if it's going to...
As if you should roll initiative.
Enter the water in front of us?
Oh, I almost had an 18, guys.
Selv with a 10.
Kaskrin with a 7.
Val with a 5.
Top of the round. You guys all see old Bill take this big, almost like lazy loop, and obviously start to charge towards the shore. And we'll say kind of in your general direction. It's not necessarily targeting you guys specifically, but you're heroes. And so therefore the laws of causality show that you're probably generally in the right area of where it is heading. Jack kind of notices this as you guys are noticing it as well. And Jack just starts yelling at everyone. He's like, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Old Bill's gone crazy.
Old Bill.
And he says, reinforcements will be here soon. Just hold on, everyone. And that is DM speak for saying you guys need to survive 3 rounds against old Bill / here on the lakeside, and reinforcements will be here. Top of the order, Selv Astralin.
Really?
Yep, with your 10.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Luckily, it's kind of one of those initiatives where like everyone rolled equally not good. So it just like turned into a pretty normal combat, surprisingly, in a very nice way.
What I'm going to do is hold my action until old Bill gets close enough that I can say out loud, dumb idea, dumb idea, dumb idea, and then jump on him as he goes by.
Okay, you're holding your action.
I am holding my action, I guess, in the hopes of getting carried away.
Okay. Kaskrin Brightmane, it is your turn.
Kaskrin looks over at Selv, looks over at Val, looks back at Selv, and he can see the nervous energy, like the position that Selv is taking, and is like, we got to get on that bird. Kaskrin is going to cast Stone Pillar underneath Selv. Below you, Selv, you can see this pillar begin to rise up and up and up, 30 feet, until you're basically on this platform staring down old Bill as he's diving towards us. As a bonus action, Kaskrin is going to use one of his new abilities. He is going to like kind of shake out his arms and legs and just kind of like, okay, you can do this, you can do this. And the spirals along his skin begin to glow. All of a sudden, the rocks on his hands and feet sort of harden and take this sort of gray color, until they finally coalesce into where it was bumpy and sort of stony before. They are now kind of this slate gray plating around his arms, his legs, his chest, and now a new helmet upon his head, which still shows off his luscious beard.
Naturally, yes.
Of course. In the same action, he is going to summon an obsidian blade that looks like a machete.
Sick.
And then looks over at Jack Brill, summoning the similar armor around him. Except instead of like the full armor, Jack Brill now has these stony like footwear, knee pads, elbow guards, and like fingerless gloves.
And like apron.
Yeah, apron. As if he is a squire that has been blessed with the same armor that Kaskrin has.
Perfect. With also his spines poking out the back, much like your beard. Perfect.
And he's like, Jack Brill, we have to stand our ground. Are you with me?
Yes, I am a member of the guard, and I will be right here.
Did you say right back? I will be right back.
You could tell it's what he was about to say, but he's like, wait, no, hold on. I bring it together.
I feel like Jack Brill signed up for the city guard because there's also like a social work aspect of the city guard, and that's what Jack Brill is there for.
His contract specifically states that the Waveless Lake will remain waveless.
he's like the caseworker of the whole guard.
And so while Casquin has this armor, he has 3 points of damage reduction against anything that is bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing. Similarly, he can give that to any of his allies as well, which in this case is Jack Brill.
Perfect. And if you wonder why he can do that suddenly, listen to last week's episode, and also listen to our Patreon level up episode.
Hey!
End of your turn?
That is my turn.
As you all start to kind of gear up, but before Val, you noticed it kind of first, you were again trying to take in everything. You guys see the shadow of Old Bill become clearer and clearer and clearer. And it's, you can see his kind of old mottled skin and his surprisingly kind of sparse feathers. But mostly what you can see is his horrible, horrible, horrible pelican beak. Mainly because it's horrible and large, but also because this one seems to be full and wriggling. It is going to first, as a bonus action, it starts beating in on you, Casquin.
Okay.
And Jack Brill is kind of like close behind you. Old Bill opens up his massive maw, which could fit multiple Casquins in.
I'm picturing Checkers just waving.
Hey guys.
You would only hope. Unfortunately, Casquin and Jack are both splashed with foul, fetid water that seems to have chunks in it. But then you realize those chunks are fish. And those fish are wriggling, and also those fish are trying to bite you.
Oh, no.
As there is just this gush, like splash zone amount of water as it just flies by and drops a whole mouthful of, what are they called?
The piranhas?
Yeah, the piranhas. There's a D&D version of piranhas, and I don't remember what they're called. But either way, they are like trying to gnaw at you as you are standing there.
Is this an attack roll or a constitution save?
This is a constitution save from the both of you.
Do piranhas count as poison?
No, I don't think so. The water would, but this is only piranha damage, and you'll just feel gross.
Okay, cool. Casquin with a 22.
Casquin, you are able to... This thing gushes onto you, so you actually have to like steel yourself a little bit. But also, you just, again, you feel all of these horrible wriggling feelings trying to get in your stone armor and like rip chunks off as they're like all surrounding you. But you are absolutely unfazed by this.
Okay, yeah, it just feels like light tickles as he's like pulling these fish off of him.
Yes. Unfortunately, Jack Brill rolled a 3.
No.
And so
you see him being eaten alive. No.
you see his back quills are filled with fish that have all been punctured, but also are like wriggling and trying to like bite him while being impaled. It is horrifying, and he has them all over like all the bits of squire armor that he is wearing. But luckily, he also has 3 damage resistance against the piercing damage, which all of these tiny teeth definitely would be. And so you just start to hear yelps from Jack Brill. I'm here.
This is fine.
Stay strong, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Old Bill is going to also, I think he has flyby attack. So he is going to do a quick swoop against Val, who's just kind of in the back there. Rolled an 18 on the die, unfortunately. And so he just kind of like clubs you with his beak, essentially, like is what happens. And you take 11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Wait, Val will use her reaction.
Oh.
Ooh. Wait, I've never heard those words come from Sophie before.
Right?
Wait, please. What? You're saying you can learn more about why Val has a reaction by listening to our Patreon episode? Oh my goodness.
What?
What is going on?
As a reaction, I need old Bill to make a dexterity saving throw.
He's okay. Far too old for
yeah,
this.
Right?
Yeah, he's...
You're asking a lot here.
Ooh, he rolled a 15, though.
Damn it!
What's the total?
He needed a 14.
He rolled a 15 on the die.
So nothing happens and listeners will be kept in the dark.
Old Bill uses... Get off my lawn.
You hear a deep rumbling squawk emerge as he resists your feeble magics. I believe you had something.
Yes. Selv takes like a half step back, so he's at the very edge of this stone pillar that Cass had conjured underneath him, and then launches himself into the air to try to grab onto the back of Old Bill as Old Bill rockets past him.
Okay. I will be very nice, only because I think the image of Selv surfboarding a large pelican is very good. I will allow you to roll acrobatics, but... this will be contested against Old Bill's fairly sizable athletics.
Okay. Only a 12.
With a 12, you succeed.
Wow.
By one. I rolled very bad. My maroon dice said, no. Let this one happen.
Self kind of launches himself and is able to grab onto some of the feathers on the back of Bill and then... possibly next turn, try to figure out where the wing muscles are to try to move them in a direction that he wants Bill to go.
Ooh, well.
I'm going to try to steer a pelican.
And isn't that what Dungeons & Dragons is all about?
It is.
Since Selv is now on Old Bill, I'll save my banishment then. And then as a backup, because Sophie Googled pelican deterrence, and those fuckers don't care about shit. the best way the state of Louisiana tells me to deter pelicans is with pyrotechnics.
I mean...
I'd believe it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Please look up your local area codes because you may need a permit. So I'll cast Magic Missile at second level.
Ooh.
In a way that will hopefully
you would
steer Old Bill away from the majority of people.
Yeah, and I'll also say, like, Old Bill is big. He's old, but he's, like, you being an experienced spellcaster would know, like, 4 magic missile bolts at max damage will not, like, is not going to just, like, insta-kill Old Bill. He's a dire pelican, not a normal pelican.
16 points of magic missile damage.
That's awesome.
To Old Bill. I'm aiming like under a wing so that he kind of like jerks away from it and then like flies back over the lake.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds great. So like you self like feel a jerk, but yeah, it starts to kind of like go back in that direction, kind of back towards the lake, back towards you. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com.
We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
So, at the end of the round, as the four of you, Cass, Val, Selv, and Jack Brill, have entered the grand melee of the Waveless Lake.
I already don't like this because you started narrating something.
This is a prepared villain monologue. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the ages of old, when the world was young.
I'm good. We'll just keep headjacking old Bill. I take it all back.
Yeah, like just I'll leave the room. It's fine. You see a number of dock workers at the edge of the beach trying to pull up this dock that is clearly being battered and bashed by the waves in the lake. But what you also see is the dock lift up suddenly as a massive creature with these huge mandibles bites into the dock and thrashes it away from the dock workers. And the workers run away screaming from this 15-foot-long creature emerging onto the beach. It looks like the combination of a large electric eel alongside dozens and dozens of spindly centipede legs that allow it to climb up onto the beach. In addition, you also see electricity crackling from its body as it turns and begins to seek out targets.
What creature does it get the mandibles from?
The centipede side.
Yes.
I
does it get the eels from?
I have
the eel side.
I have lovingly named this creature the centipede.
Yep. I was actually going eelipede, but yeah. Centipede is good.
Yeah. Why is everything horrifying and makes you long?
Yeah, right.
I think you started it with the long
hyenas.
Sure. No, then we got the long snakes. Now we got the long eels.
Yeah, right. It is going to scramble up to the nearest target that it can find and bite out with these thick mandibles.
Luckily, I think it's Cass.
Yeah, it's probably Cass, okay. Honestly.
Well,
yeah.
it's probably not Selv at this point.
That's fair.
I think we've established Cass was in the front, Jack Rill was right behind him, and Val was like off to the side battle trigonometry a little bit.
And as this thing wriggles up to you, you see these big, sharp mandibles begin to try and close around you. And you also see they are dripping with this kind of light blue liquid coming out of some pores in the maw.
Caskrin looks back at Jack Brill and says, "Is this guy a city mascot too?"
No, no, no.
Only 16 to hit, though.
That is going to miss.
All right.
Off of my 17 armor.
So are we 17 armor still?
Yeah, I still have heavy armor.
That's fair.
I'm sorry,
you were about to say get wrecked.
Yeah, I was going to say get wrecked.
I appreciate Sophie that you're like, I can read my husband.
Yeah. I know exactly what he's going
to
say.
I know what he's about to say. Let's make sure that he gets to say it. Otherwise, he'll be saying it all night tonight. Right? I don't want to deal with that.
No, I just saw his arms go up in that movement, but my mouth had already started talking.
In the get wrecked pose.
I'm not going to taunt Nathan, but I am going to taunt you, bro.
That's fine. Well, it's just getting warmed up.
Yeah, oh yes.
No.
Despite its failed bite, that does not prevent it from whipping the tail around and trying to slap you aside.
Oh, geez. All right.
So the end of this eel now is going to crash into you for another attack. 29 to hit.
I'm sorry. What?
I checked the math. It is all correct.
And as this thick tail crackling with electricity comes barreling towards you, you're going to find yourself taking...
That's too many.
Nope. It's all checked. It was all... I saw the math, and I was like, seems rough, but I believe you.
You'll take 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, my God.
Alongside 6 points of lightning damage.
Oh, holy crap.
Well, you got 3 damage reduction on that 20.
So, Jack and Val, you guys just see this tail whip around from nowhere, from behind the centipede, impact Caskrin, and suddenly Caskrin... It's flying sideways into the side of this, small hot dog stand that's on the way to this lake and just, destroys it before tumbling back a couple of feet.
Pete's Beefs.
No.
It's gone.
The subsidiary of Pete's Meats.
And that is relevant, too, because you are pushed back 15 feet away from this creature.
Oh, geez. All right.
So that is accurate.
Yes. That's a lot of damage, y'all.
It is a thing that happened.
Wow. As a reaction, I'm going to use another new ability in order to cushion the blow just a little bit. I'm going to spend 2 of my sorcery points in order to reduce that damage by 2d8.
Okay. Ooh. Seems like a good use of that ability.
So I'm going to reduce that damage by 12.
Nice.
Wow. I only take 11 points of damage.
Very good.
Pretty good.
In addition, as Kaskrin tumbles through Pete's Beefs, his armor and his weapons glow with a sort of radiant stored energy that he's going to use later.
Excellent. Jack Brill, at the end of the order, because he has been told to stand with the Adventuring Guild, looks around meekly and just shrugs and throws a spear, his only weapon, at this large worm. Well, Jack Brill scores a hit.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. The true hero Excellent. Of the story.
It takes 3 points of damage. Yeah, he just kind of, you just hear a, heh, as Jack Brill hefts his hedgehog-sized spear, which does, you know, grazes it, I guess.
The centipede does not even look in Jack Brill's direction.
Yep, no, not at all. Top of the order. We'll start with least interesting to most interesting. Val and Jack Brill are both standing there.
on the beach.
On the beach. Kaskrin Brightmane has been knocked through a bunch of hot dogs and is still kind of covered with a couple of fish who are still chomping at him. And then Sylvasterlin is on top of Old Bill, the mascot pelican, who is doing a big bank back towards the party. And with that, Sylv, what would you like to do?
So I had a thought, now that this electric centi-eel, or centipede
good.
has appeared, is that maybe Old Bill is trying to take out the centipede. So I would like to get some kind of read on Old Bill.
Vibe check, Old Bill.
Yes. Yeah. As Old Bill is banking and coming back around, does it look like the pelican is headed towards my fellow guilders on the beach or headed towards the giant monstrosity that has just appeared and destroyed the dock?
Got it. Yeah, roll me either a like nature or animal or just perception, because you're just looking to be like, what direction is this bird I am on going?
I would like to do perception.
Great.
That is a 14.
It is definitely not going towards the centipede.
Dang it.
And that is kind of the most you can tell. But like, you could easily be like, straight line from here, centipede? Centipede, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Let me take the whole episode from the top, right, so, yeah. So I can do that right. But you could tell if this is going to the centipede, it is not going to the centipede.
In that case, I am going to attempt to use my purchase on the back of the pelican to push down at some locations on the wing and try to steer it towards the centipede.
Ooh, okay.
In the hopes that maybe it will douse
Godzilla versus Mothra.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like it will douse the centipede not only in water, but more importantly, perhaps some bitey piranha things.
I mean, its mouth is empty now, but at minimum, it is a large bird crashing into another large thing. That's probably pretty good.
Yes.
I will take medicine, in that you're looking into musculature, like you're essentially like massaging the wings into place.
Not great there.
Did you have a pitch, I guess?
Well, my initial thought was animal handling.
Yeah, animal handling. You know what? I think that is a stretch, but I will say it comes from a place of knowing about bird. Well,
I would know say stunning strike is all about hitting the right muscles.
And you know he studies hitting particular muscles on dire pelicans.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Sylv does in his free time.
Yes.
Yeah. Different muscles.
You know meditation.
Character growth, he is now.
That's true. Yes, give me a roll.
Well, the good news is medicine or animal handling both have the same bonus. 19 on the die.
Oh, wow.
For a total of 22.
Nice.
But that 19 is courtesy of the brand new Reckless Attack colored dice that we have, courtesy of Carrie at Catalyzed Concepts on Instagram.
Yes, we'll have a link to it.
And we'll have a link in our
Thanks
in
for
our
the dice.
Things. Thank you for the dice. Thank you for making them. They are awesome. And hey, 19 for a total of 22.
So, you like just lean in and just manipulate it enough that like it starts kind of gliding in the direction that you want. And you can tell that it is, but no one could possibly guess that A, this was your intention, or B, that your intention is actually working. What do you tell to everyone else around you as soon as you kind of realize like, oh, my shot is lined up?
I will yell out,
"Coming in hard. Get out of the way."
You all hear accordingly. Anything else you'd like to do?
Brace for impact?
That seems like a very reasonable choice. All right. Next up.
So with that pesky Kaskrin out of the way, the centipede looks directly at Valeska for its next target as it click-clacks.
There's a Jack Brill problem. No, but attack. Do not attack the tiny, adorable hedgehog man. I didn't mean it.
Clacks its giant mandibles in your direction and seeks to snap you in half with its jaws. It's going to take its first attack, a bite attack, at you, Val.
And we'll probably be successful.
That'll be a 24 to hit.
Yeah.
12 points of piercing damage and 2 points of lightning damage, in case that's relevant.
That is not.
And as these mandibles close around you, you can feel these barbs piercing into your skin. And some kind of strange liquid pumping from out of the centipede into your body. Can you give me a constitution saving throw, please?
It was almost a 20 and now it's 2.
No! But in true centipede fashion, you feel poison begin to course through your veins as you take 10 points of poison damage as well. But that's not all. As the tail begins to swing around, you can see your dear friend, Jack Brill, become the target of a large, electrically charged eel. Jack Brill.
Jack, duck!
Jack Brill's not going to duck, unfortunately.
Jeez. No, it's not a duck, it's a pelican.
It's a 24 to hit.
Yeah.
He'll take 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oof, ow.
And 3 points of lightning damage.
Ooh, he's on, I think, 2 HP.
Well, but he's not. Remember, it's reduced by...
Yo, yes.
Reduced by 3.
Yep.
And that is a centipede's turn. Kaskrin sees all this, and he is going to start by, like, getting up off the ground and, like, cleaning off all this, like, ketchup and relish off of him. Kaskrin is going to start by using... A little bit weird, but a pseudo-legendary action.
What?
Kaskrin's going to use the ability granted to him by the Eternal Citadel called, "Hey, pick on someone your own size."
Nice.
Which just gives him an extra movement without using any action.
Cool.
So he is just going to pick himself up and run towards the centipede and try to place himself in between Jack and the centipede. As a action... Kaskrin is going to continue the theme and cast Enlarge on himself, growing his stony armor up to large size until he can almost see eye to eye with this dumb electric eel.
But not him?
Centipede.
Just his armor?
Yeah, just his armor. No, him.
He's actually a mech.
Hell yeah.
Except his mech is just Kaskrin, like, his face is still in the stone.
Yeah.
His limbs are just dangling underneath and the rest of it's
I'm
moving.
I'm way into this, actually. Yeah. And you can see, like, the lights initialize and the laser cannon appear from the back of his armor.
The sick sword comes out of nowhere.
As his bonus action... He is going to use a sorcery point, and because I cast a spell, in that same turn, I can use a sorcery point to make an attack.
Okay.
In addition, I'm going to use the stored energy from the absorbed attack from last turn and redirect that energy back into the centipede. So Kaskrin, as a bonus action, is going to make an attack with an additional 2d6. That is going to hit on a 21.
Absolutely.
14 points of damage.
Ow.
As he is hit with this obsidian machete. And Kaskrin stands resolutely in between him and the hedgehog.
So as you finally hit the centipede, you get to taste one of his other abilities, which I've called Electric Field.
Ooh.
Get out of here.
Again, he just sent me the stat block and was like, yep, no notes. Seems good.
As your blade impacts the centipede, the lightning stored within its body... discharges into your body from the blade upon contact, and you will find yourself taking an automatic 1 point of electric.
Nice. Does it get negated because I'm touching the ground and I'm made of stone?
I'm grounded.
It depends. By next session, come up with a list of rocks that are natural. What are they called? What's the opposite of conductor?
Oh, I...
Resistor?
Natural resistors, I guess. And then just say, my shoes are made of this rock.
Okay. Uh-huh. Cascarin Stone Mech takes 1 point of damage.
All right.
And that is the end of my turn.
It is Old Bill's turn.
Oh, yeah. I did actually want to ask, what does Old Bill look like? Because is he, like, just angry? Or, like, what's his deal? Why is he attacking?
Give me a... insight, unless you have something you'd prefer.
Insight's fine, because, like, Casper's trying to read the situation. Yeah. Like, are we now dealing with two targets? Are we still dealing with one? Like, what's going on here? Yeah, and that is a 11.
What you'll notice is Old Bill, you've seen him scores every day that we have canonically been in Agmar.
I've never made a comment, but I've seen him throughout many, many weeks.
Yeah, because what is there to say? He looks totally normal. There's no signs of corruption or anything like that. It just appears that he is aggressively pursuing you like a predator.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Which, again, has never been Old Bill's MO.
Right. Like, I have an Old Bill plushie at home. Like, he's such a gentle giant.
Right. Genuinely is never a problem for the city. Has never been. And so for this to happen is pretty wild.
Okay.
So, it is Old Bill's turn. The centipede has moved, but I'm going to say since it is a large creature, it has not moved enough, and you kind of had enough, I guess, proverbial runway, so to speak, that what happens is what happens. So, I surreptitiously, when it was not your turn, I think when Jonathan was bashing someone with a tail, just started handing you D6.
You did, in fact, start handing me a bunch of
D6. So, in front of you is 6 D6. So, if you could roll those to start with.
14.
Okay, and then roll 4d6 of those again.
So that is a total of 33 points of damage.
33
nice.
Points of damage.
Oof.
When Old Bill slams into the centipede.
Nice. All right. Get wrecked.
Exactly. I wouldn't say that it is knocked prone, but it is definitely knocked backwards as this is happening. Selv, I would like you to make a... Well, I guess, what is your plan? Do you want to try to jump off? Or how...
I had no plan. That was...
What would you like to do in this moment?
So what I would like to do is something similar to... we'll go back to the Matrix movies, where we had the two semis driving at each other. And so when they slammed into each other, Morpheus flew forward. And that is what I'm going to be doing.
Okay, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
In like a cool way, or like you weren't wearing your seatbelt?
In a, Selv had crouched down and was ready to spring off at the moment of impact.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, give me a dexterity saving throw, please.
Dexterity saving throw. That is another 19
nice.
On the die.
Thanks to catalyzed concepts.
Yes.
Exactly. Describe how you heroically land on the ground.
So Selv is launched off and into the air and goes just absolutely flying forward, and then takes a weird pose in the air, almost flying squirrel-like. And then he kind of does a tuck and roll when he lands on the ground and gets to his feet, spins back around and faces Old Bill and the centipede in front of him.
Val hates all of this and immediately will cast Banishment on the centipede using salt as the item that is repellent to the target creature, because I was Googling what is repellent to centipedes.
Are you just Googling all real world things?
They can't tell me this information without showing me pictures of centipedes, so I stopped there.
Yeah.
we'll say that seems pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Certainly, centipedes are very weak to salt, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they're in a lake, not the ocean.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I will need the centipede to make me a charisma saving throw.
It's so good at these guys.
And I'm gonna give it disadvantage because it has just been an old build.
Okay. All right, let's see this charisma roll with disadvantage. So that's going to be a 10.
Yay! Yay!
Hell yeah.
And here we are, finally, with a banishment. It has gone through, ladies and gentlemen. Well
speech,
done.
Speech.
Sophie, what happens?
As Val concentrates and starts muttering under her breath, this is almost like beacon of hope culminates around her, and she, like, her whole body starts glowing, and you see it's like from her shield in front of her, and then pushes her shield into the centipede's mouth, and it poofs from existence.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
My child. I worked so hard on that.
That is the end of round two. Old Bill is still a tangled mess of feathers and squawks, and the centipede has been banished from this plane of existence.
Nice.
To whence we do not know. And we'll be back, I guess, at some point, theoretically.
Come back soon.
Yeah.
In a minute.
But you see Old Bill start to kind of right himself and kind of gather once more for another kind of like launch off the ground. At the same time, you guys start to see more shadows roiling along the lakeshore as more creatures start to emerge. None of them are as horrifying or large as either of the combatants that you have seen thus far, but you start to see small snakes. You start to see more fish. You see a pile of frogs just rumble over, but you see the alligator equivalent of what would live in the water start to emerge, and it is emerging all along the coastline. As Old Bill is about to spring into action, and as you guys kind of brace yourselves, you all feel at the back of your neck the hairs, at least those that are exposed and not covered by stone armor, singe just a little bit as this huge gout of flame is thrown and hits the side of the lake, and just huge steam gout. All of these animals that were clearly emerging with that same predatory instinct are all vaporized, essentially.
Is there some kind of turtle wizard?
Well, if you were to slow pan around, you guys would hear a voice saying, "Don't worry, everyone. Backup is here." You see not only the promised kind of guard reinforcements, but also you see three of the four members of the Verdant Wave Adventuring Guild. Trankar, the turtle wizard, as aforementioned, Barzug, the dwarf berserker, who last you saw was wearing this very intricate new black armor as if it was made out of the carapace of a creature. And you see Yanis Varga, the commander of the guild. That group charges forward, and you see them start to draw weapons and that sort of thing. And you even see them kind of start to approach Old Bill when you see a flash of armor just tackle the bird, essentially, and just like put it into a headlock as you see a member of the Bones grappling this large bird.
Hell yeah, Bones!
And you see the member of the Bones, as soon as it kind of gets its feet on the ground, is able to just torque the bird around, just using like pure core strength, essentially, and just wrestle it to the ground and put Old Bill in a sleeper hold, essentially.
Hell yeah, the
to
Bones.
Like make it pass out. As all the guards start kind of storming forward, and as the waves are actually getting more and more intense, this member of the Bones stands up. And you can see that across their chest is a net. And the Pious, newly reforged...
Hell yeah, the Pious!
...stands up and says, "It appears as though we need to get you all to that island." And that is where we'll end this week's episode, everyone. Hooray! See you next week!
Woo-hoo! By the way, the centipede is coming back in like 59 seconds. Don't worry about it. Be here for that. Okay, bye!
Does anyone have well, I guess, is it land vehicles? Is it vehicle proficiency?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, right, uh-huh. Yeah.
Where you can quickly
identify. See, also, like, I feel like we'd have to identify which one is best seafaring because they're all built for a waveless lake.
I know, yeah,
what
exactly.
What can hold up?
Well, so maybe it is Sky Challenge. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
Or does if anybody has the like the sailor background or...
I think Checkers would be the only one who has a... Uh-huh.
No, he swims by himself. He has no idea how to operate a sea vehicle.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't use boats.
Right.
That's, man, if only Umbra was here. She was proficient with land vehicles. Yeah.
Right.
What is a fishing boat but a wagon for the sea?
Right.
I think I might have used that once we were
there was something we
when
used
the wagon
for.
Game was happening. We had to figure out which one Sir Reginald was in, and I was like, Umbra is proficient in land vehicles and would be able to Italian job know which one has a paladin and plate armor in the back.
Which one's
one inch lower than it should be.
I don't recall that, but
yes,
that sounds
I remember
very
that.
That
wagon is riding low.
I am happy that you suggested it and I allowed it. Yeah. Like I'm retroactively very proud of us for that. So good job, us.
Yeah.